Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Timothy.
How are you?
Good, good. Good, good to see you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard employee number one.
Indeed, yes, yes, yes.
The most
from the beginning.
Most knowledgeable person
probably.
In terms of operations, at least, I guess. Yeah.
Probably, like, but we still have a lot more experts as well.
Yeah.
Welcome cool. to the Circular Economy Hub.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.
Welcome back to Circularity FM and our series on circular entrepreneurship in Kenya. For the final episode of this series, we're taking you to Close the Gaps Circular Economy Hub in Mombasa. Timothy Washira, the operations manager at Close the Gap, walks us through the process of tackling e-waste. And he talks about their mission to bridge the digital divide. But before we start, I have an offer for you. If you want to get the actionable one-pager about this conversation, sign up for the Circularity FM newsletter. You can find it at www.circularity.fm.
Thank you so much, Patrick. My name is Timothy Washira. I am operations manager at Close the Gaps Circular Economy Hub. I've been working with Close the Gap for 6 years now.
Wow.
I joined in June of 2019. When we were starting the first operations for the Circular Economy Hub back in Nairobi. And then, of course, we moved end of COVID in 2020 to Mombasa to establish a much bigger facility and what I'd call a state-of-the-art IT asset disposition here in Jomvu, which is closer to the port and the airport here in Mombasa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giving us quite a good position logistically in terms of making sure that we are efficient in our operations and also provide for the social economic aspect of Mombasa, provide employment to youth and young women.
Okay. Yes. So technically you have been the first employee of Close the Gap here.
Yes.
Yeah. And before we look at Kenya, so I learned Close the Gap has been around already in Belgium.
Indeed. So Close the Gap was started in Belgium in 2003 by our founder, Olivier van den Eend, as a, as a social enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission that he wanted to achieve was bridging the digital divide by providing high-quality pre-owned computers to individuals and social enterprises so that he could be able to provide digital skills and IT equipment at a very low cost. So that was his mission when he was starting up the company in 2003. And now in 2019, he came to Kenya,
mm-hmm.
and decided to start the Circular Economy Hub,
mm-hmm.
based out of the company that had now grown in Belgium to be a fully fledged IT asset disposition company. And he also purposed to create an environment to innovate and incubate young entrepreneurs by providing them with a co-working space.
Mm-hmm.
to be able to come in and bring the ideas and actually get investor funding and also training and on how best to scale up their businesses.
Okay.
Yes. So the Circular Economy Hub, I would describe it as the logistics backbone,
mm-hmm.
of Close the Gap in here in Kenya. And here is where we actually collect used IT devices from partner companies here in Kenya. And we actually take them through what you call a refurbishment process,
mm-hmm.
Which entails actual identification of devices and taking them through data wipe processes to remove any client data that was there on the device. And essentially, once that is done, we're able to grade these devices based on their usability and deploy them to our impact projects. And our impact projects mostly would be institutions like medical institutions, education institutions, and social enterprises. Yes.
So actually, Close the Gap is the, let's say, the overall brand having operations in Belgium and here in Kenya, and the operations is focused on refurbishing hardware under the umbrella of the circular economy hub. And at the same time, you kind of build an impact and circular economy ecosystem supporting other entrepreneurs and bringing together investors, sponsors here in Mombasa region and Kenya. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Because we have recognized that e-waste generally is becoming an issue that needs to be dealt with at the beginning. And the population here in Kenya, about almost 70%, the young, the youth, that is 35 years and below, and they are getting more into acquiring digital skills and actually even being creator job their own job creators. So there's a lot of use of IT equipment in Kenya, but what happens to that equipment when it gets to end of life? So essentially, we looked at that as one of the missions that we want to ensure that e-waste is handled safely. So create responsibility through our corporate partners, as well as educational and medical institutions, and even social enterprises. So one of those, that is one of the missions that we wanted to achieve. And we also talking about bridging the digital divide. We are an emerging economy here in Kenya. And affordability of high-quality IT devices sometimes is a challenge because of the cost. So by refurbishing, we're able to provide high-quality pre-owned computers, what we'd call as nearly new and made-in-Kenya devices, to individuals at a very low cost, thus achieving our mission of bridging the digital divide. And of course, there's unemployment. We have to see how best we can create employment, especially for the youth and especially women. And Mombasa provided an ideal location to create opportunities for the youth and young women entrepreneurs. And Close the Gap, by having the circular economy hub here in Mombasa, is able to create impact as well by providing tech incubator space and a program we call Boost. So Boost has three pillars: boost your technology, boost your learning, and boost your business. Boost your technology is used by us to create as an initiative to create e-waste awareness, and actually even encourage youth and young women entrepreneurs to get into circular economy. And once they do that, they can now come in and get training in digital skills as well as other business skills, and boost your learning. And later on, even scale up their businesses through our project called Impact Accelerator. And boost your business pillar. So it's more or less a whole social economic system that we aim at providing impact for at Close the Gap.
Okay, enough for the intro. Let's look at Close the Gap's operations.
So it's a shared space, this compound. We have other companies in the compound that deal in other things as well. But this is our facility. Okay. So our facility is more or less, we call it an IT as a disposition facility.
Mm-hmm.
It was modeled from one of our facilities in Belgium, one that was previously located in Mechelen.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's moved to a location called Kontik.
Mm-hmm.
Quite bigger. More or less, this is the storage side of our operations. Everything you see on this side is already prepared devices.
Okay, so this is like outbound.
Outbound, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's prepared, ready for impact deployment.
Yeah.
And then we have our operation side where we do the actual IT asset disposition.
Okay.
Yes. So essentially, our process begins by us talking to local partners.
Right.
Who have used IT equipment.
Yeah.
That is still serviceable, that mm-hmm. is still reusable. And once they agree, because we are looking at our model involves us getting equipment donated,
mm-hmm.
equipment that is at end of life but can still be reused. So donated to us so that we can process it at zero cost
right.
to the partner, and then we can redeploy it to our impact projects.
Okay. What are the kind of companies that donate the equipment to you?
Yes, so we're looking at corporates,
mm-hmm.
Educational institutions, medical institutions, and even individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so a lot of corporates we work with here in Kenya are mostly the multinationals.
Right.
Because multinationals understand end-of-life refurbishment processes.
Yeah.
And would actually want to dispose their equipment through companies that are certified to carry out refurbishment and yeah. recycling of electronic waste.
When it comes to data
yes.
Destruction, do you include that?
Yes. So when it comes to data destruction, we use a software called Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
Blanco is a software that enables us to actually wipe data on any hard drive or any storage drive of any equipment.
Yeah.
And we are able actually to provide even a report to the client once the wipe is done. This enables us to reuse
yeah,
the
yeah.
device.
Okay, so you do like software wiping and not hardware destruction.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so once we wipe the hardware, we are able actually now to deploy it with the hardware, because destroying the hard drive essentially is
yeah.
more or less getting almost half the cost of the device
yeah.
out of the equipment. And by investing in Blanco software, we're mm-hmm. able to recover the use of the hard drive without destroying it.
Okay.
Some clients, although insist that we destroy the hard drives
mm-hmm.
based on the sensitivity
mm-hmm.
of the data that was on the hard drives before.
Mm-hmm.
But once we sensitize them and we show them that Blanco software
mm-hmm.
is the best software that we can use, because you cannot recover any data that was there before.
Right.
Even if you use other software, data recovery softwares to do that.
Okay.
Yes.
And coming back to the companies, so you cover the whole of Kenya?
Yes, we cover the whole of Kenya. We talk to companies all over Kenya. We are based here in Mombasa,
mm-hmm.
but initially we had presence in Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
So we already created a rapport with them. And we keep on constantly following up with our clients all over Kenya. And we are actually working with also other IT asset disposition companies internationally who have clients with base of operations here in Kenya.
Okay.
So we are a certified refurbishing partner for SK Test
mm-hmm.
and also Sims Lifecycle Services.
Mm-hmm.
Who have their clients here in Kenya. So we collect devices from their clients, refurbish the devices on their behalf, and provide the necessary reporting for them.
Wonderful.
Yes. Would you like me to take yeah. you through the procedure?
Yeah.
So essentially, we use our own in-house ERP system
yeah.
to capture and track these devices.
Okay.
And create what we call our inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So the ERP system is developed based on the procedures that we are supposed to do in mm-hmm. refurbishing. From a point of collection of the load from the client, once it arrives to the warehouse,
mm-hmm.
there are various processes that we do. First of all being registration of the device. So we capture the device's specifications, model numbers, serial numbers, and we actually assign a refurbisher number to each device mm-hmm. so that we can track it based on the load that it came mm-hmm. from. And once it's taken through the refurbishment process, we are able now to provide a report to the client
okay.
based on this. So there are various the various products that we refurbish are basic ICT hardware, that is monitors, desktop PCs, mobile phones, laptops, as well as tablets.
Right.
And sometimes as well, we do get printers.
Okay.
And other networking equipment like servers and switches.
Yeah.
So all those will go through our refurbishment process. There are different stages for each particular kind of product. But more or less, the refurbishment process is more of, first of all, registration.
Yeah.
And then taking it through the testing phases.
Mm-hmm.
So we will test monitors for their display performance, as well as the physical condition of it. So first procedure would be checking.
Yeah.
And then we do monitor testing on this line. Any item, because it is more or less a process flow, any item that is already identified as having a physical defect will be earmarked for teardown
mm-hmm.
and marked for recycling.
And when you say teardown, this is then also the point where you see, oh, these are spare parts that you can reuse another time. So you put them on stock somewhere and, and other parts are going to a recycling partner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the parts that we will harvest, basically, are parts that we can just probably unscrew and screw on another device.
Yeah.
So if it has a damaged display, for example, we will remove the monitor stand.
Yeah.
And we can reuse that monitor stand for a device that is lacking a monitor stand. Yes.
How? I mean, just given the whole variety of monitors out there in the market, and the specifics of each manufacturer and sometimes each model, I mean, your ERP system,
yes.
How do you find that you have two stands for this specific monitor? Is it like, is it up to date? Or, I mean, I know the daily challenges of keeping the ERP system up to date. And it's just, you must have such a variety of spare parts here. How do you handle that?
So what we usually do, for example, I'll give you an example using this Philips monitor.
Yeah.
This Philips monitor, once it arrives,
mm-hmm.
we will capture the specifications of the device,
mm-hmm.
the size, the color, the brand name, and we'll also get the serial number
mm-hmm.
and print out a refurbisher number for this device. So once it, that check-in is done, it goes into processing. Under processing, we will test the device to check out the display. You'll see things like this.
Yeah.
These are stickers that were there on the client. Are they removable?
Mm-hmm.
We'll capture that. If they're not removable, we'll capture that defect. We'll also look at the display, how it performs. Does it have any missing pixels, and et cetera? Then we will, if it's missing a monitor stand, we will mark it as missing a monitor stand.
Mm-hmm.
Then in our inventory, we will grade it based on those defects.
Mm-hmm.
So a device that is 100% working, okay, doesn't have any cosmetic defects, that device is graded as a grade A.
Yeah.
And in our inventory file, you can be able to filter out devices with a grade A.
Yeah.
So that those ones are ready for impact deployment.
Yeah.
Grade B would be minor defects,
mm-hmm.
maybe cosmetic, maybe a faded, something faded or scratches on the display
mm-hmm.
like this.
Mm-hmm.
But 100% still working.
Right.
So there are those devices that are missing a part
that
would be required for remanufacturing for that device to be fully operational. We will grade it as a grade C.
Yeah.
So out of those defects, we are able now to check on our parts inventory list, because we also capture our parts inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Items like hard drives will be assigned a media tracking number
mm-hmm.
and put in our cage location mm-hmm. for reuse.
Mm-hmm.
Items like monitor stands.
Mm-hmm.
For now, once we do the processing and we discover, for example, this monitor display is defective,
mm-hmm.
we will actually dismantle the monitor stand, put it on in our inventory location. So we count based on the brand and model.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the clients that we get devices from, mm-hmm. usually because they are corporates, yeah. they use the most similar mm-hmm. devices. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't. We don't have a lot of storekeeping units when it comes okay. to the models that we keep okay. in our stock. So it becomes easy as well
yeah.
to remanufacture or upcycle a product.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially, we as much as possible avoid buying new parts.
Sure, sure.
Yes. So,
and do you sometimes even go beyond and say, okay, we already have 50 stands for this Philips
yes.
on stock, but we could sell it secondhand, exactly. these spare parts? This yes. is what you're also doing?
This is also what
okay.
we do.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. Because there are other also players in the market that are also pushing out yeah. used devices.
Yeah.
They might be importing monitors without stands.
Okay.
And we might have old inventory of monitor stands.
Yeah.
We also do that.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So another aspect now is the data wire processing.
Yeah.
So we use these tables to connect devices to data wire mm-hmm. and Blanco. We'll do a variety, PCs and notebooks on this table. And then we also have the ability to do data wipe for mobile phones.
Yeah.
So we also collect a variety of mobile phones mm-hmm. From the market. The numbers are not so high, basically, because a lot of devices people will use up until the end of life, unfortunately, right. for mobile devices.
Yeah.
But the number that we get, we still are able to... this is more where the remanufacturing process takes place.
Okay.
So, for example, this particular mobile phone has a broken screen.
Yeah.
We are able to repair. We do have a repair shop as well mm-hmm. in our alternate location. So all these devices come in for repair. Blanco Mobility as well is used to wipe mobile phones.
Yeah.
And the good thing is Blanco Mobility, once we are able to do a data wipe, we'll also upload the latest version of iOS or the latest version of Android on that particular device. So we're able to give the yeah. end user
yeah.
Most up-to-market user experience yeah. when it comes to the mobile phone.
And in cases like this, I mean, yes. this is an iPhone, I don't know, 5, 6 or so?
Yeah, this is an iPhone, I think, 7.
7, yes. Yeah. At some point, they're out of service from exactly. Yeah. Apple, yeah? So this is the limit, let's say, the limitation from a software perspective. Yeah?
Exactly. That's the limitation for a software perspective. So most of this, now, if you get a huge batch, maybe we can reuse some of the items yeah. just to... We will scrap the device,
uh-huh.
and then we can reuse some of the hardware from the device to remanufacture
okay.
other devices.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So those are the limitations of
yeah, yeah.
refurbishment
sure.
sometimes.
But
these are the types of products as well that we are working on. And a lot of these products are going to impact projects. Like this particular example, Nearload, is being prepared for a foundation in Ethiopia
mm-hmm.
called Kamara Education.
Mm-hmm.
So we are able to provide at least 500 complete desktop units.
Mm-hmm.
We are importing them into Ethiopia, fully loaded with the software that they require.
Yeah.
And they are going into schools directly.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is like a mini desktop PC.
Yes.
Yeah.
We call it an ultra small desktop PC. This is paired to a monitor. You can even tie it to one yeah. monitor. So it becomes very easy to actually minimize. If you have a small classroom,
yeah.
so you minimize on
yeah,
space.
Yeah.
yeah. And you're able to still get a fully working PC with Windows 11. So that's the perfection of doing it.
Nice.
And
we probably come back to some commercial, maybe even numbers later, but
yes.
So I assume this hardware has been donated, you process this, and you donate it then in this case to Ethiopia. So how do you make money?
So essentially it's not really a donation.
Okay.
We are selling these devices to them at a very low cost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at a cost that probably is even more than half the price of a new device.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to go to the market and buy a brand new computer.
Okay.
Yes. And all other auxiliaries are free, like keyboards, mice, cables.
Yeah.
Those ones we can meet the costs ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we also load in software under our Microsoft Authorized Refurbisher program.
Yeah.
So it's genuine software at half the cost of a commercial license.
Okay.
So essentially we are providing the devices, yes, at a cost so that we can be able to run our operations,
mm-hmm.
but still lower than the market price of a new device. So still providing accessibility to the end user.
And yes. I understood that you also sometimes donate devices. So how do you decide what to donate and what to do you sell at a price?
So decisions based on a donation, we will actually work with other partners who will be able, who come in as sponsors.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So we actually have a program called Adopt a Classroom,
mm-hmm.
where a sponsor comes in and purchases hardware for a particular school, identified by a panel. So a panel of companies coming together, then identifying a particular school in a remote area, and then adopting the classroom. Okay. So for us, we provide the hardware and also install the mobile or the digital classroom in that school and offer end user support as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yes. So other ways that we can raise revenue, because it's not all devices that come in as donated.
Mm-hmm.
So there are clients who want to carry out end-of-life disposition the right way, but they want also to recoup some value out of the disposal. Maybe they have very nice devices that if they were to take to market, they would get value, but they have not gone through a proper IT asset disposition.
Yep.
So essentially, we have two models. We call it, one of them is buyback value. Mm-hmm. So we offer a buyback value for those devices, essentially buying the devices from the client, then taking the devices through the refurbishment process so that we can have clean devices going out to our clients. Mm-hmm. And also the other one is revenue share.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, we collect, refurbish, and then agree on a revenue share percentage with the client for the resale of these devices.
Yeah.
We will always deduct the costs of processing.
Yeah.
And we also try to keep those costs of processing as low as possible.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest cost contributor would be the transport.
Mm-hmm.
So collection and transport of the devices, probably from a company in Nairobi to Mombasa.
Mm-hmm.
But the refurbishment costs per device are pretty low.
Okay.
Yes, so we essentially have to do that so that we also at the outbound end provide a device that is still affordable to an end user.
And do you need to already do some grading or some first diagnosis at the customer side that you already know at the customer space where this is going, or will anyway just every appliance just get here and will be registered, checked, so it doesn't make sense to have some remote diagnostic?
Okay, we do a prior diagnostic with the support of the client.
Okay.
So we will ask for a hardware collection list to be filled by the client, indicating the status of the devices.
Yeah.
And then we can predetermine by just looking at the defects whether these devices are worth collecting and taking into refurbishment. And the other aspect now, if we are getting donated devices, we'll have to collect as well other forms of e-waste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We will essentially even have cable e-waste in there, power cable e-waste in there. Maybe older, for example, telecommunication handsets.
Yeah.
So we will receive and check it all in so that we can have the tracking of the hardware. And then once we segregate, everything else will be collected in one location as electronic waste and then transfer it later once we get a full economic load to our downstream recycler.
Okay.
So we are still enabling responsible e-waste collection for other forms of electronic waste that are coming from partners that we are collecting devices from. Yes.
What are the numbers you can share to get an idea of the volume?
Volume-wise, here in Kenya, so far, since inception, that is 2019, we've been able to process over 80,000. Yes, maybe at the end of this year, we'll be about at 105,000 devices. So the numbers are quite high. Overall, for Close the Gap, it's over 1.7 million devices.
Okay.
Yes, because now Close the Gap in Belgium as well are collecting devices and also refurbishing them.
Okay.
Yes.
And can you give us a rough indication? What's the share of devices that go to recycling and what's the share that are repurposed?
So I'd say 90% are going into refurbishment and being repurposed.
Nice.
10% going into recycling.
Cool.
Yes.
Awesome.
So the numbers are, or items that we refurbish are quite high.
Yeah.
And this is because at the beginning, as you asked before, we do a prior grading before we collect the devices. Yeah. We also have an MOU with our downstream recycler.
Mm-hmm.
If I get a request for hardware collection and I determine that all the items on that collection are probably destined for recycling, they will do the collection on our behalf and directly start the recycling process.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are able to eliminate unnecessary costs of transport and extra work that our team would do for devices that will not be actually reusable.
Okay.
Yes.
And so many more questions.
No problem. No problem. Yes.
It sounds a bit as if Close the Gap is kind of steering a two-sided platform. So on the one hand, you have the companies and the organizations that get rid of their used hardware. And on the other side, you have organizations and individuals that buy refurbished hardware.
Yes.
And in many of these cases, the art is always to match volume, demand, and supply.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the bigger challenge? Is the bigger challenge in making sure that you have enough used devices to meet the demand side? Or is it easier to get the used devices, and then you need to make sure that you sell it out to avoid having too much stock?
Okay. The challenge at the beginning was essentially here in Kenya was to get the used devices.
Okay.
So what we did to enable us have our operations move as fast as possible, we had to get inbound from our Belgian operation.
Mm-hmm.
So we imported a container almost every month of already refurbished equipment to the Kenyan market.
Yeah.
And we are able to supply our impact projects as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Yes. So with time, we've been able to create inventory, inbound inventory in the local market.
Yeah.
Because as the reputation of what we are bringing in from Belgium as already refurbished used computers.
Yeah.
Our clients are also turning into our customers.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they understand now that they can get even higher quality devices and donate their used devices to us for refurbishment.
I was seeing this cage over there. What's happening there?
Okay, I can take you there so we can see. So essentially, the cage is built for isolation of hard drives for what we call external data. So you'll receive a device, take it to our data table.
Yeah.
Once we put it on power, we discover that...
the magic key.
Yes. So essentially we discover that the device probably has a faulty board on it or cannot power on, or the screen does not display.
Yeah.
So essentially what we are supposed to do, come in, welcome, is build out the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
and wipe it externally.
Okay.
So we connect it to a PC externally, yeah, and then carry out the data wipe for the hard drive.
Yeah.
Once the hard drive is wiped successfully, we will assign it what we call a media tracking number,
mm-hmm,
same as the refurbisher number for the devices. So each particular hard drive has to have, that is moved out externally, have a media tracking number and put on an inventory,
okay,
for reuse. So
yeah,
so data destruction is done by shredding of the hard drive.
Yeah.
So mechanical shredding. We have two shredders. We have a 2.5 millimeter shredder. This one does the 2.5 millimeter solid state drives mostly. We
yeah
also have mechanical, I believe I can get a mechanical, one of the mechanical 2.5 millimeter drives. And then this does the 3.5 millimeter,
mm-hmm,
the bigger, older hard drives.
I see old.
Yes.
And it's not a floppy disk. That's even the other one.
So. It's called a diskette. These are the older
yeah
ones
I remember
for storage even before the USB flash drive.
Yeah. 3.5 megabytes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you have to make sure that it's
unlocked before you store.
So you even destroy these.
Even these ones are destroyed.
Nice.
Yes. So
and do you still have floppy? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So essentially, the 2.5 millimeter shredder, you're able to do the diskettes,
yeah,
the CDs, because sometimes you also get CDs within the PCs once you collect.
So you put in this.
Yes.
And it comes out.
It comes out as this.
Okay.
Yes. So you can imagine, you cannot be able to repiece that.
Indeed, that would be that's a unsolvable puzzle. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some of these, like we separate based on the types.
Yeah.
Some of these are like these are CDs. We can separate this waste. It can be repurposed once it goes to someone who wants to, for example, like artwork.
Yeah.
You can use this for artwork.
Okay.
Put it on a canvas, create an image, probably.
Yeah.
So they still use it for this, but our recycler as well handles also this e-waste once it's done.
Okay. So of course, resource lost, but for some data security reasons, exactly, are even more important.
Other examples of the mobile phones.
Yeah.
So these are some of the defects. So this one basically has been wiped, has been graded.
Yeah.
As a grade C,
mm-hmm,
because still reusable, but has a broken back.
Mm-hmm.
So we will replace this broken back, and then we will grade it as a probably grade B.
Okay.
Yes. So essentially, that's what we do.
Cool.
We get quite good devices.
iPhone
11s, iPhone 10s, like this.
Yeah.
But the rest, like the 8 and 7s, now this one will be destroyed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because customer requests to do so? Or?
No. Because it's getting outdated in terms of iOS support. So we'll dismantle, we'll remove the screen.
Okay.
The battery, separate the battery.
Yeah.
And then put the rest on our shredding.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
So that's the use of the cage, basically.
Right.
To keep dead hard drive secure for the process of external data wipe and also data destruction.
Cool.
Yes.
If we look into the future, what are the main projects you want to drive? Where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years from now?
Okay, we are looking at ever expanding our IT asset disposition, and we probably will have to move into a bigger facility, and a facility that is also closer to our corporate partners. Maybe in the future, we might be shifting back to Nairobi to enable our business scale up. We will still maintain the circular economy hub here in Mombasa,
right,
but at a smaller scale, but we feel that is the direction that will give us more assets that we can take through the process, as well as also build up our footprint in the region. Also, we are looking at scaling up into other markets within the East African community, and also the sub-Saharan region. Already, we have a similar circular economy hub in Kinshasa, the DRC, as well as news not yet announced, but we are also setting up a circular economy hub in South Africa. So we, having built the model here in Kenya, and we've seen the impact that it can have, we are also looking at those markets that do not have something as similar as what we have, because the circular economy hub is a first of its kind in Kenya, and I believe in East Africa. So we are bringing on board partners who can be able to enable us scale up e-waste initiatives and help us to build on the circular economy story.
You said you're bringing on board partners. What are the kind of partners you're looking for, or what kind of partners should be collaborating with you?
So first of all, we are looking at corporates and larger institutions who'd want to donate their used IT equipment to take it through proper and safe e-waste handling. And also refurbishment. That would be number one and key for us. And then, of course, we want partners who can come on board to help us also build our impact accelerator program, especially invest in young entrepreneurial aspects and young businesses that we are incubating at our hub in Ratna Square. Because a lot of the young people have a challenge in gaining or getting access to finance that can be able to enable them scale up their businesses, especially in circular economy. And we'd want to have partners who would be able to help us get the young entrepreneurs there, as well as we are also looking at partners who can be able to adopt a classroom by enabling us set up digital classrooms in schools all over the country in Kenya, and also tap into our innovative mobile classrooms, what we call the DigiTrack. So this is a container retrofitted as a classroom. A shipping container, that is a 40-foot cubic container that is put on a trailer. And can be managed by a partner to provide digital skills training and other types of entrepreneurial training to individuals who would not really have access to such facilities, because of the nature that they're in remote areas, areas that do not have a quite good infrastructure to provide such skills. So those are the kind of partners we'd want to work with in the future.
So actually players who want to also enhance education and bridge the digital divide. And for the hub, it's about entrepreneurs, business angels, venture capitalists who want to support the East African ecosystem, but also benefit from the emerging economy in Kenya. And on the first one, companies, international companies who have hardware that reaches its end of life and want to make sure that this hardware is in good hands and has a positive impact. Wonderful, Timothy.
Thank you.
And thanks for showing me around, having this opportunity, and even more thanks for the work you're doing here on the ground.
Thank you as well. It was a pleasure hosting you, Patrick. Indeed, we have had this opportunity to showcase what we do. And we are still not up there yet. We are still, we still want to scale up to be the best IT asset disposition in Africa.
Yeah, yes. All the best for that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
All right.
This conversation with Close the Gap concludes our series on circular entrepreneurship in Kenya, where we've listened to the inspiring stories and business models of founders building a more sustainable and equitable future in East Africa. If you like this series, leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. Let's drive a profitable circular economy. And please don't forget, the most abundant renewable resource is your imagination.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.